My time this morning to preach God's Word is limited. I don't apologize for our emphasis that we put on missions and the other things that God is doing. But I'm only going to be able to give you the introduction, really. There's no way I'm going to be able to share anywhere close to the entire message, so you'll have to come back next Sunday to get most of it. That's one way to get you back, right? But I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. While you're doing that, let me just say that this passage, this story is a powerful story that we have a lot that we can glean out of it. I want to focus on a couple of specific things as we look into it today by introduction and then get into it more seriously next Sunday morning. You may be familiar with this great story about the prophet of God, Elijah, and the confrontation that he had with Ahab and Jezebel, who were the very wicked and evil king and queen of the nation of Israel. And Ahab and Jezebel had led the Israelites away from their faith in and their worship of God to worshiping a false god called Baal. And we pick up the story of this powerful confrontation that Elijah had with Ahab and the prophets of Baal, 1 Kings chapter 18. We'll pick up the story in verse 20. So Ahab sent word throughout all Israel and assembled the prophets. And again, those were his evil prophets of Baal. He assembled them on Mount Carmel. Elijah went before the people and he said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people said nothing. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only one of the Lord's prophets left, but Baal has 450 prophets." Not very good odds, were they? "But get two bulls for us. Let them choose one for themselves and let them cut it into pieces and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. And I will prepare the other bull and put it on the wood, but not set fire to it. Then you call in the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." And all the people said, "What you say is good." So Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose one of the bulls and prepare it first, since there are so many of you. And call on the name of your God, but do not light the fire." So they took the bull given them and they prepared it. Then they called in the name of Baal from morning until noon. I love this. "Oh, Baal, answer us," they shouted. But there was no response. Nobody answered. And they danced around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah began to taunt them. "Shout louder," he said. "Surely he is a god. Maybe he's deep in thought or busy, or maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's sleeping and must be awakened." So they shouted all the louder and they slashed themselves with swords and spears as was their custom until the blood flowed. Midday passed and they continued their frantic prophesying until the time for the evening sacrifice, but there was no response, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." And they came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. I want you to notice that verse very closely. They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Then Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." And with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it large enough to hold two seahs, which is about 13 quarts of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. And then he said to them, fill four large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood. Do it again, he said. And they did it again. Do it a third time, he ordered. And then they did it a third time. How many know that wet wood doesn't burn very well? And the water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. And at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. Verse 38 gets exciting. Fire of the Lord fell, burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and licked up the water in the trench. And when all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and they cried, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. A couple of weeks ago, Linda and I took a week off. And while we were away, I was praying to the Lord very earnestly the entire time. But I prayed only one prayer. The entire week, every day, I prayed the same prayer. Prayer. My prayer was this: God, when I go back, what do you want? What do you want me? What do you want to say to the people? See, because I don't want to share with you my word or my message or what's in my heart. I want to share with you God's word, God's message, what's on God's heart. And as I was praying, I was impressed by the Holy Spirit with several thoughts that became my desire, my prayer for this church, for you. That all of us will receive a fresh touch from God. That each of us will have a new encounter with the living Christ. That we'll have a renewed passion for God, for the things of God. That we will all seek to and become full of the Holy Spirit. And that we will be challenged to walk in faith and obedience in the ways and the will of God. But then my thought was directed to this question. This is all well and good. But does it all begin? Where does it happen? Where does it take place? And God spoke to me and He said, it usually happens at one place. It's called the altar. You know, God can work in your life anywhere. God is everywhere. But so often, He begins His work, He confirms His work, He makes real His work in our lives at a special place called the altar. What does God want to do at Gateway? What does He want to do in us? What does He want to do in you? What does He want to do in your heart, in your life? And where will He do it? You see, my dear friends, if we really want to see God move, we need to get back to the altar. Sometimes the altar becomes forgotten in a neglected place. And God spoke to my heart and He said, Jerry, this is what I want you to tell the church. Come back to the altar. And so the title of my message this morning, and as you've already heard, we'll go into next week, Back to the Altar. Back to the Altar. Lord, speak to us now, we pray, through Your Word. Begin a new work in us. Start a new work in me and in each and every one. We need You, Lord. We need to meet with You anew and afresh. We need a new fire in our bones, a passion in our hearts, God. Lord, I don't think that most of us are where we need to be in You. You have more. Help us to be hungry for more. Move in this church. Move at these altars. Lord, I pray one more time for the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit to be upon me, even in these few short minutes that we have left today. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. I do a lot of study, I do a lot of research into wanting to make what God has given us, what God has blessed us with here at this church, in our building, in our property, in our facilities. I do a lot of research into wanting to make it the best that it can possibly be. I believe that whatever we have for the Lord should be the best that we have. I believe whatever we do for Jesus should be done with the very best of our ability. And God has blessed us with so much. How can we improve upon it? How can we make it better? How can we make it a place that people want to come and meet with the Lord? And you know, there's a lot of research out there. There's a lot of studies out there. And they tell us some interesting things about the important places in a church building. Guess what studies show is the number one most important place in a church? What's the number one most important place in the building? The nursery. The nursery is the most important place. Guess what the number two most important place is in an entire church? The ladies' bathroom. So we say, oh yeah, of course. The men's bathroom is down there about 25, 26. You know, the nursery, the woman's bathroom. Then some of the other important places, the foyer, the parking lot, the sanctuary, the children's church, the fellowship hall. I'd like to see the kitchen in there. You know, that should be an important. And I don't know, I was rather dismayed. On no list that I ever saw did it mention the pastor's office. I guess it's not an important place. Just kidding. But spiritually, where is the most important place in the church? It's the altar. The altar. There is no place on our property or in our entire facility more important spiritually than right here at the front at the altar. My friends, we must learn to embrace the altar. Sometimes we're afraid of the altar, but we must embrace the altar. Time in prayer, seeking God, letting Him do His work, allowing the Holy Spirit the time and the opportunity to move in our hearts and our lives at the altar. You know, when you study, when you study the Scriptures, you find out that all throughout the Bible, that it's the altar is mentioned as that special place for God's people in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. The altar is a special place in heaven. Look at the book of Revelation. The altar has had great historical significance in the Pentecostal church, in the assemblies of God. Our former general superintendent, Brother Tom Trask, once said this, and I quote, "I believe that in a Pentecostal church, the focal point will be the altar. It's where God meets people and where the work of the Holy Spirit is accomplished. Take away the altar, and it's like a team playing sports, but never scoring. The Pentecostal movement," he said, "may have feet to go around the world, but its heart is at the altar." Unquote. All throughout the Bible, all through church history, God has always moved. He's done His work at the altar. And my friends, if God is going to move here, if He's going to do His work here among us, if He's going to move in your heart and in my heart, it will probably be here at the altar. In fact, the altar is so important that we just can't have church without it. Great things happen here. Everything else that we do in our church and in our services, well, it's incomplete. It's insufficient without making the effort and taking the time to allow God through the Holy Spirit to do His work at the altar. So please, my dear friends, let's not be in a hurry and neglect spending time at the altar allowing God to do His work. And I'll go so far as to say this. If we do anything in this church, anything at all, we need to get back to the altar. So I don't have a whole lot of time to flesh this out. You're going to have to wait till next week. But let me just give you a couple minute quick overview of where we're going. I'd like us to be a little bit more specific and look into what exactly the altar is for. And we can find out a lot about the altar and its purpose and the importance by looking closely at this story that we just read about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. And see exactly what happens at the altar. The first thing I notice is that the altar is a place of prayer. It's a place of prayer. In verses 36 and 37, it said, "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and he prayed, 'O God of Israel, O God, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again.'" But where did all this happen? We learned where it happened in verse 30. The people came to him and he repaired the what? The altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Folks, never let this altar at Gateway Assembly of God lie in ruins. You can say, how can the altar lie in ruins? What's going to happen to it? Is it going to fall down? It lies in ruins when it's here and we don't come to it. When we don't take advantage of what God wants to do here, we don't give God the time and the opportunity to do what He wants to do here. If we don't come, the altar, in essence, lies in ruins. Here's what I know. It's a place where God meets with His people. And the most important thing that can happen to any of us, especially in church, is to meet with God and to have an encounter with Jesus, because that is the only thing that can meet your need and change your life. Coming to church is a good thing. It should be a good experience. But just coming to church won't change your life or affect your eternal destination. Only meeting with God can do that. When I come to church, and I've been going to church ever since I was a baby, when I come to church, the one thing I want, I love to see y'all, but what I really want when I come to church is I want to meet God. I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to be in His presence because I need God to change my life. I need God to touch me, to help me, to make me better. I have needs that I need God to help me with. I want God to meet me and I want to meet God. And I know this, that God wants to meet you at the altar and change your life. There's so much more that we're going to be talking about. But the altar is a place of divine visitation. It's a place of divine visitation where we meet with God, where He meets with us, where we get a hold of God, where God gets a hold of us. And I know this, that God desperately wants to meet with you. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm talking to you. God desperately wants to meet with you. And it's a beautiful thing when God's people come and meet with Him at the altar. There's no substitute for spending time with God in prayer, seeking Him at the altar. God's house is a place of prayer, and the focal point is the altar. The altar, and again, we have more to say about it next week, but secondly, the altar is a place where God's glory comes down. It's a place where God's glory comes down. Our prayers, our cries go up, and the presence and the glory of God comes down. It just doesn't get any gooder than that. Where our hearts reach out, and the Holy Spirit comes in. And we need to look more specifically about what happened at that altar on Mount Carmel when God, when the fire of God came down. What happened there will give us a good idea of what should take place at our altars. When God's glory comes down and we fall and we bow and we humble ourselves in His presence, there's no greater place to be than the presence of Almighty God surrounded by His glory. This coming Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. Boy, do we need prayer. It's a community gathering. Churches coming together to pray for our community, our state, our nation, our neighbors, our schools, our kids. There's so many things that are going on that we need to pray earnestly and sincerely for because we're seeing our society move farther and farther and farther away from God, getting to levels where we thought could never happen in the United States of America. Political decisions are being made that are dangerous, that could possibly restrict our religious liberties. And we need to pray for a great spiritual awakening. But listen, America needs a spiritual awakening, yes, but the church needs revival. It's easy to say, they need God. Well, so do we. They need to wake up. So do we. They need a move of God. So do we. They need to meet with God. So do we. They need an encounter with the living Christ. So do we. Maybe you need a revival in your heart and your life. I want to encourage you. Whenever you have the opportunity, come to the altar and meet with God. Let His fire fall down on you. Let His presence surround you. The altar is a place where the Holy Spirit can perform surgery and healing on your heart. In the place where you can repent of your sins, let God cleanse you on the inside. It's a place where God comes down in the power of the Spirit and sets our hearts on fire. It's a place where God's anointing and His healing power is poured out upon us. My prayer, my passion, my plea for you, for this church, is that this altar would be a place where God's glory comes down and the fire of God ignites every one of our hearts, where the Holy Spirit fills us, where hearts and lives are forever changed by the power of God. We can let God get a hold of us. And we can get a hold of God. It's a privilege to have a place where we get to come to. We get to come to. We spend time to let God do His work in us. The altar is a place for you. It's a place where you need to be. And it's worth making the effort and taking the extra time to come, to present yourself before God, to have a fresh encounter with Christ, to be filled with the Spirit. It's a powerful place. It's a special place. But only if you come. Only if you come. Friends, what we need here is we need a church full of believers who are passionate for God, on fire for Jesus. And it starts right here at the altar. In just a minute, Stu's going to put on a beautiful song that is appropriately entitled, Come to the Altar. And here's my invitation to you. Do you need Jesus in your life? Do you need to turn your life over to Him? Maybe you're not where you need to be with God. Maybe you're not right with God. Maybe you're not following Jesus the way you used to or the way you should be. Come to the altar. Maybe you need to confess your sins and be forgiven by the grace of God. Come to the altar. Maybe you need a fresh encounter with God. Maybe you need to meet with Him today. Come to the altar. Maybe you need God to do something in your life. Maybe you need His touch. Maybe you need His help. Maybe you need direction. Maybe you need an answer. Maybe you need to hear the voice of God. Come to the altar. Maybe you just need to be in His presence. Maybe you need to be filled with His Spirit. Come to the altar. Maybe you need God to do something new and fresh and alive in you. Come to the altar. Maybe you need more of God. And who doesn't need more of God? Come to the altar. The altars are open and available for you to come. Stu, God bless you.
Are you hurting and broken thin? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself?
more than yesterday, I need you more. you more than anything. I need you more.
If I told you my story, you would hear hope.